So if you want to join me, take your Bibles and let's go. Trying to decide what to do this morning, and this is a nearly perfect passage to speak on that concept of clanging cymbals. The idea that speaking for God, ministering for God, has a value independent of a relationship with God. In this particular case, it's not about love. It's about the idea of speaking for God without the fear of God. And so we're going to begin reading in chapter 22 of Numbers. In this passage, unhelpfully, a pagan king named Balak comes to a prophet named Balaam. Balaam's kind of odd. He's what we would call a half-breed in terms of a prophet. He speaks for the Lord. He waits upon the Lord to speak, but he is not a follower of the Lord, and there is no fear of the Lord. And in fact, the New Testament, when it speaks about him, makes it plain that Balaam's motive was money. Now, back in ancient times, there were people who had this office, this, if you want to call it, this religious position of speaking for the gods, or in some cases, of speaking for God, okay? And they would do it for money. People would bring a gift along. That's what Naaman presumed Elisha would do. They brought a gift along to supposedly honor the man. We would call it an honorarium. And that's what Balaam would do. He would prophesy and people would bring money. The trouble is God actually worked through him. The problem with that is we forget God works through everything. God speaks through everything. It is no honor. It is no privilege. It is nothing to glory in that God speaks through you. God speaks through donkeys, all right? God speaks through anything. Don't think it's anything that God should use you. Don't ever take that as something marvelous. You've got to take marvelous the fact that your relationship with God, that's what's important, not the fact that God would speak through you. Let me just read a longer section of the passage. I'm going to read it in the New King James because I really like the way they phrase certain things. We're going to start in verse 8, where they come to Balaam, these messengers from Balak, and said, "Listen, come with us. We've got a job for you. You're great at talking to God, and you're really good at curses." You know, that must be something to be known as a pastor for cursing. You know, that's your specialty. You know, that's your gift. I must have been an evangelist of some sort here. And so they come to him and say, "Okay, this is what we need. We need a special curse for Israel. We need you to curse Israel." So this is what he says in verse 8. "Stay here tonight. I will bring back to you as the Lord." Notice that's the covenant name of God, okay? "As the Lord speaks to me." So the leaders of Moab stayed there with Balaam, spent the night over his garage in the guest house. "Then God came to Balaam and said, 'Who are these men with you?' So Balaam said to God," well, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent to me saying, 'Look, a people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out.'" Hey, Balak's got a problem. "I'm just trying to help." That's, you know me, I'm just a helper. "God said to Balaam, 'You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed.' So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, 'Go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you.' And the princes of Moab rose and went back to Balak and said, 'Balaam refuses to come with us.' Then Balak sent princes more numerous and more noble than these. And they came to Balaam and said to him, 'Thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me.'" What's a little thing like God saying no? You know, don't let that stop you, certainly. "For I will certainly honor you." Honor means pay. Cha-ching. Okay. "I will honor you greatly. I will do whatever you say to me." Anything you want, blank check. Balaam's, his eyes are lighting up, you know, man, this is a prophet's dream to speak for God and to make money. Whoever dreamed of that, you know, speak for God, make money, speak for God, make money. What should I do? I'll go back and check with God. Maybe he's changed his mind, okay? Therefore, please come and curse this people for me. He knows that God doesn't want him to do it, but he goes back. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less nor more. Oh, that sounds so noble, doesn't it? Now, therefore, please stay here tonight, okay, that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. Maybe God has a little extra in it. You know, maybe God will notice that you've got more money. You know, God certainly realizes my needs, and, you know, all things work together for good to them that love money and the Lord, and, you know, and so let me just see what's going to happen here. God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come and call to you, rise and go with them. If they come again, if they come one more time, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you that you shall do. So God says, if there's a third time, that's often in the Bible, at the third occasion, God's testing someone, but you only say what I tell you to do. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princess of Moab. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He didn't wait. He wasn't going to play coy. You know, the guy's asked twice. I'm not waiting. I'm going to call him back and say, yes, you know, I'll go with you to the prom. You know, I'm not waiting this one more time. God obviously has in mind for me to go. There's money involved. He got up, he saddled his donkey, and he takes off to go. Next verse. Then God's anger was aroused in the way he went, as he went. See, God was going to send him to accomplish something. God has a tremendous prophecy to speak by Balaam, a prophecy that's going to be remembered by Gentiles for almost 2,000 years, a prophecy that a star will rise out of Jacob, a prophecy that the wise men will know about. God has a prophecy, but he didn't want Balaam going for money. He didn't want Balaam going without his fear. See, Balaam has no fear of God. God said no, and Balaam has no fear to come back and say, I'm going to do it, because he's driven. He's got something that he wants to do. It's not about what God wants. It's not about the fact that I am talking to the living God. Do you realize that there were very few Israelites who had this privilege? There were very few Israelites who ever spoke to God one-to-one like this. Very few Israelites who God ever came to them at night. This is a, I don't want to call him a pagan. He is a kind of worshiper of God. He is a Gentile worshiper of God, maybe in the category of a Noah, maybe in the category of someone. There are Gentile worshipers of God. He's a mystery to us, his exact relationship. But his heart wasn't right. There was no fear of God before his eyes. He just is going to go. So God's anger is kindled against him, and he doesn't even know it. That's a problem, isn't it? You're speaking for God, and God's angry at you, and you don't even know it because you're so driven by what you want to do, by what you want to say. You're so full of yourself as the spokesman of God, as the possessor of God's word. Now they're honoring you. All these princes are riding in this train with you, and you're there on your donkey, and you've got, we'll find later, they're not mentioned, your two servants behind this noble procession proceeding to the king of Moab to do this great service. Just a slight problem, okay? And the angel of the Lord took his stand just like Satan. That's what the word adversary means, as a, literally the word Satan here, against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants are with him. Here he's riding in the head of the procession. I'm the big cheese, riding on his donkey. He's got his two servants behind him, and the angel of the Lord is standing in front of him, and he can't see it. He's so driven. He's so, pardon me for using the word, ministry-minded. He's going to speak the word of God, but his heart isn't right with God. Let me just pause for one application here for a moment. I can't tell you how easy this is to do. I can't tell you how easy it is to stand up there on Sunday morning and your mind's on the message and not on worshiping God. I can't tell you how many times, if you're a pastor, you'll serve communion. Once a month in most Baptist churches, maybe at different times, how easy it is to be thinking about what's the order of service, what's going on, are we taking somebody into church, what's happening, and your mind isn't on the fact that you've got the Word of the living God open in front of you. You should never stand in this pulpit without fear, without understanding, you know what, I'm a conduit. I'm standing between the people and God. I could be a hindrance to God's Word. I can't help God's Word. All I could possibly be is a hindrance to God's Word. You should have a fear, not this kind of terror, but this holy, reverent fear that I am speaking for God and my heart ought to be right. He doesn't have it. He's got dollars. He's got the goal in mind. This next part, I just love this next part. One reason I preach on it. I preach on this regularly because I love this passage. I tend to see a little of myself in this. You see, Balaam doesn't have a lot of patience. He works under the same philosophy I work under. Patience is a precious commodity, so why spend it on everything? You know, don't just go using it up on any little old thing, you know. Save it for the big things, you know. My wife hasn't seen the wisdom of that, but she'll come around, okay? So he's going, and I love his responses here. He's just driven. He's going, and he's got his donkey. And you got to remember, okay, donkeys have this gait. And what you would do is you'd have a little stick in your hand, and you'd hold it reversed, not like this, out in front of you, but behind you. And as you're going along, you're riding along, and you're kind of touching the back end of the donkey, and the donkey's going, oh, okay, I'll keep going, you know. And so you're driving the donkey, as you would do if somebody were doing that to you. You know, you're going ding, 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 on the donkey. So he's riding along, ding, 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 you know, on the donkey. We come to verse 23. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. Now, a couple of things you got to remember. We're talking about a donkey, okay? He sees the angel of the Lord and he recognizes this is trouble. Second, he sees a sword. Now, you got to remember, the donkeys aren't the most discriminating of creatures. You know, they may recognize a human from another donkey or a human from, say, a rabbit. They may recognize, but how many donkeys recognize a sword from something else? Okay, obviously, the Lord is already working through the donkey. I'm talking about the one that's on the bottom, all right? God's already working through him. The one that's on the top hasn't gotten the message yet, okay? He has his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. You're riding along and everything's going great. All of a sudden, by the way, when a donkey wants to go someplace, you go there, okay? It's not like a car that pretty much goes where you. The donkey goes, you're following. So the donkey's heading out into the field. The road and the pathway would have been relatively smooth. The field would not. The donkey's doing this, and he's trying to hang on to the donkey, and he's beating that donkey, you know, get back on the way, you know, maintaining his dignity on the way. So he's beating on the donkey to get him to go back. It doesn't occur to him, I wonder what my donkey saw. I wonder if my donkey heard something. I wonder if there's something going. It doesn't occur to him. No. He's got dollars, cha-ching, waiting for him in Moab. So he's heading on his way. He is so blind. It doesn't occur to him. God said no. In fact, God told me if they come back one more time. He wasn't listening. When you handle the Word of God, when you minister to people, you can't just do anything you want. You're not just free to do it in any way. You've got to be listening so closely. Your heart has to be so open and so tender. It's not a choice of do it or not do it. It's a choice of how do I do it? What are God's instructions? How am I supposed to do this? He's not paying any attention. The donkey is. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards. What they would do is they would remove the stones from the field so they could plant the vineyards, and they would make a wall. That's why people build stone walls. Not for good looks, it's just all those stones came out of the field, okay? And they needed to clear the fields. So there's a stone wall on the path between the vineyards. This will be on a hill, okay? So you can't go down the hill. That's dangerous. Vineyards are always on the side of the hill facing the sun. All right? So the donkey now only has one choice. It can't go down the hill and into the field anymore. It's got to go to the right where there's this stone wall. And so it says here, and the donkey saw the angel on the wall, and she pushed herself against the wall. Okay? So again, let me just give you the picture. What you have is a hill coming down. In order for that hill to retain water, it's terraced. Okay? That's the only way in Israel you're going to get any water, which means you've got a relatively flat space, and you're going to have a wall here to keep people out of your vineyard, and then it's terraced. So there's kind of another wall on this side, but it's lower. There's a drop-off of like 4 feet. So as you go down a vineyard, it goes down like that. So the donkey's got the wall on this side, but it's a drop-off. It's not like there's a wall on this side and a wall on this side, you know, between two sides. You're in a vineyard and you're kind of going down. If it goes to the one side, you fall off the side of the hill. So the other side is the wall. So it pushes against the one side of the wall on the one side that it can actually get against, and it crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. Just a bad habit for the Smith family. There's just something built into us when people hurt themselves in certain humorous ways, we can't help but laugh, you know. And this is built in. The Bible does this, so I feel good about this, you know, although I realize it's a human tendency. I actually have a daughter who, she was, 7 months old? And we saw this tendency in her. Sweetest thing, girl, easy to get along with. Dads always think that. Her mom's holding her, and her mom turns around and hits her head against an open door that's on the side of a cabinet. Clunk, my daughter starts laughing hilariously. And so Anita says, Mommy just hurt herself. For her entire life, our daughter, the sound associated with the kind of pain that actually came to you because of something that, you know, you messed up on, my daughter can't help it. And I can still remember it. I was walking up the stairs one time, had ice on them outside, walk up, got to the next to the top stairs, went, wah! You know, and I'm holding onto the stairs. I wrench my back, and before I open the door, I hear from inside, open the door, there's my daughter, you know, just laughing her head off. She's a fourth grade teacher now. Dignity, you know, absolutely great fourth grade teacher, just as a gift for it. I'm sitting in her class. I was doing something for the school. I'm sitting in her class, and a little boy comes up. They're on this kind of time when half are working, half are in the back. And he comes up holding his head, and he said, oh, I hurt my head. And she says, I'm sorry. And she goes to rub his head, and he said, well, he says, I was standing in the back, and little Stevie burped, and then Loretta went, oh, yuck, and she moved her hand, and she hit a science book, and it fell down and hit my head. I see my daughter look at him and go. She's biting her tongue, and then she says to him, with her biting her bottom lip, how many times does Miss Smith have to tell you, don't tell me how it happened? And then she kind of walks out of the classroom. I hear the door closing. You know. So, yeah, this is here. He's like, he crushes his foot. If it happens to you, it ain't funny. It happens to somebody else. It's like, So he's got his foot. He's beating on the donkey. So, amazing grace of God. Look at verse 26. The angel of the Lord went further. Wow. The angel of the Lord went further. He didn't kill him either of those times. He gave him a third chance. Remember, he had said, the first time they came to you, no. The second time they came to you, no. If they come to you a third time, okay. Balaam didn't wait for the third time. Praise God for Balaam's sake that the Lord waited for the third time. He walks further down the path and stands there, okay? And he stands there, and look at what it says. With a wall on this, in verse 26, stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. First time you can turn to one side, or you can turn to either side. Second time you can turn to one side. Third time, you can't go either direction. It's just this narrow place, maybe between two hills or something. He can't go either way, okay? And so when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down right underneath Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with that little, we call it a staff, but it's that little stick in his hand. The donkey's laying there, and he's just beating on the donkey, trying to get the donkey up, and the donkey's not moving. Worse, the donkey, the Lord opens the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey turns around and looks at Balaam, right? Now, he's hot, he's sweaty, his hair is running down his face, he's beating the donkey, and the donkey opens his mouth, and I love it. The donkey talks kind of like the ape in George of the Jungle. You know, George speaks like this, but the monkey speaks with this Oxford kind of English, you know. I say there, George, you know, have you considered? And so what's kind of interesting here is the donkey opens his mouth in perfect King James English. That's why I love the King James here, right? Perfect King James English. What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? See, the first thing God does is ask questions of us. He asks a question. When God comes, are you thinking about what you're doing? Well, you're standing there with a stick beating a donkey that's not going to help. If any of you have had a donkey or any other animal like that, you know hitting them with a stick, it doesn't help one little bit. Okay, standing there, and so the donkey's, why have you struck me? Now Balaam starts talking to the donkey. He's replying to the, it doesn't dawn on him, you know, wait a moment. The donkey's talking to me. Wow, it does, it's, you often ask the question, shouldn't Eve have known that the snakes don't normally talk? Well, should Balaam have guessed that his donkey didn't normally talk, you know? He didn't get it, okay? So he answers him. I love what he says. Because you've mocked me. You know, you think you're smarter than me, you old donkey. You're mocking me. Maybe the donkey had a point. I wish there were a sword in my hand and I would kill you. Well, you see, the donkey says, hey, I know the difference between a sword and a stick. You know, I've seen a sword. That ain't a sword. You know, I know what a sword is. So he's got this stick and he's beating on the old donkey and the donkey, and he says, if I had a sword, I'd kill you. So the donkey turns and calmly says to him, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this very day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And if you've got the King James Bible, which I love, Balaam says, nay. You know, the donkey's talking in this perfect King James English, and Balaam goes, nay, just like that. It's like, listen, now, it's like, do you wish you were the donkey? No. Do you wish you were Balaam? No. God speaks when he speaks through what he speaks. Being used of God is of no consequence because God uses every living thing on this planet to get his message across. God uses a rock. God uses a tree. God uses unsaved. God uses animals. It should not be the ambition of your life to be used of God, because I've got news for you. God uses everything. It should be the ambition of your life to know God, to fear God, to love God. That ought to be it. You end up like a Balaam being used. And guess what? Balaam is not going to get the money when he gets to Balak. Balaam is not going to be used to curse. Balaam is going to be used as an example for some 4,000 years of a fool. Balaam's going to be used as an example of what not to be. Balaam is going to become a type in the New Testament of that person who does it for their own gain, who rushes heedlessly in the ministry because there's something in it for them. Balaam will be used more longer than many other people. Balaam's name will be famous forever. I don't want that kind of fame. You're in Bible college. You're not here to be a teacher. Anybody is a teacher, and everything is a teacher. Every last thing you do teaches somebody about something, good or bad. You're not here to become a spokesman who opens up your mouth and brings out things for God. By the way, that must have been a pretty marvelous experience for Balaam, to actually be one of the few people who wasn't a lying, conniving cheat, that when he spoke, it was the word of God. But that meant nothing to him. It did him no value. He couldn't even see God when God was standing in front of him. Notice what happens in the next verse. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. The fear of God entered into him then because he saw. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times?" Balaam, there's a lesson here. Your donkey was teaching you a lesson. Answer the question of the donkey. Why did you strike him? God doesn't ask questions because he doesn't know the answer. He asks questions because you haven't thought about the answer. When God asks in the garden, "Adam, where are you?" it's not because he doesn't know where Adam is. He wants Adam to think, "Where am I? Why am I here hiding from God?" God wants Balaam to think, "What is it?" If Balaam has been driven by his greed and his anger and his desire and his single-minded focus, all of those things have put him in a place where he's going to get it done. I can't tell you how many pastors have ruined ministries by having that single-minded, "I've got to get the work of God done no matter what, no matter what I've got to ride through, no matter how many hindrances are put in my path. Every time there's an obstacle in my path, by faith I will overcome it." They can never stop and think, "Wait a moment, what's God trying to teach me? Wait a moment, has God put this obstacle in my path?" I don't mean you doubt and waver over everything when God's made something clear, but I mean that single-mindedness of pastors has split more churches, has driven more people away from the Lord than just about anything I can tell. That idea that I've got to have it. You're in a dating relationship. I've got to have that person. That person is the right one for me. Obstacle after obstacle, person after person, God brings to you to say, "That's not the right one." You know that's not the right one because God's already said to you, "I want you dating somebody who's born again with the Holy Spirit evident inside of them." That person isn't born again, or that person doesn't have the Holy Spirit evident inside of them, but you're going to do it anyways. You're rushing on, "I've got to do it." And then what happens when you don't get it? You're angry. You're mad. You just can't take it. God's frustrating me. No, it can't be God. It's life. It's that person. So you're beating the donkey instead of talking to God. And God speaks to Balaam, and he says, "Why are you beating the donkey? Behold, I have come out to stand against you." That's that same word. "I'm acting like a Satan in front of you, an adversary in front of you, because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she," would be a she, wouldn't it? "If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live." You know, there's the news. Then Balaam said, "I've sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way. Therefore, if it displeases you, I'll turn back." And God says, "It's your attitude that displeases me. You're going to carry out my will just like the donkey. It's your attitude that I care about." You can't work on the circumstances. You can't choose your mission. There's no way you can look at something and say, "You know what? I know that this is the Lord's will for a fact that tomorrow I'll be doing this." James says, "You fool," if you want to say that. What you can work on is your heart, your attitude. Is there the fear of God that dominates? Is there a sensitivity? Can you see God when he's standing right in front of you saying, "Stop that or do that"? If you can't do that, then our college can't do anything for you. We can't build that into you, that sensitivity, that fear of God. What we can do is display it. What we can do is hopefully you'll see that in our life as an institution, in the lives of the people in your dorm, in the lives of your teachers. But you've got to have that heart, and you've got to learn. You look so stupid when you're beating on the donkey and God's standing right in front of you. You look so foolish when you think that you're something because God is using you. God uses everything. It's about fearing him, pleasing him, loving him. Don't forget that.